Hello, Gems. Welcome to another episode of TRs in Tech. I'm your host, Shelley Venhoff, and today I'm talking to Charlotte Fuller, and she is the director of Your Digital Transformation Consultant Limited. We talked about how women can be more confident in tech. She shared great insight into setting boundaries, and she shared her ebook, 100 Free Resources to Empower Women in Tech. Without further ado, on to the episode. Hey, Charlotte, thank you so much for being here and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Shelley. It's really good to be here with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's jump right in and have you tell us your tech story of how you got started in tech.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So I actually have quite an eclectic breadth of experience in different roles, really. So I didn't sort of go to college and everything traditionally. I did, but not down the traditional route. So I actually left school at 16. You can do that in the UK. And went and worked all over the place, really, more in sort of casual positions and things like that. And started working, I went out to the US. I was working in New York and working in country clubs and things like that. And ended up meeting quite a few people that worked in finance and technology and all those sorts of areas. And I got really interested in what different people were doing. I've always been really curious around what is everyone doing out there? You know, what type of things are people into? And so, you know, these conversations really led me to be thinking about what I wanted to do in the future. And so I went back to the UK and I started studying more of a sort of generic business degree and started working in different organizations in technical companies such as, you know, digital services type companies, SEO type companies, that sort of thing, really getting into various different aspects. I then spent some time as sort of a data analyst on sort of more of the marketing side of things, and things sort of progressed in different areas. And one thing led to another, and I was just, like I said, always so curious with what was going on. And was very interested in the analytics and the data side of things. And so would spend time really kind of alongside my degree, like also studying these sorts of aspects. So also learning to kind of code Python and kind of different things on the side, just kind of as I was going along, I got really interested and started taking kind of statistics classes and all those sorts of things just of my own accord. And all the while I was doing this, like I said, I was working in all sorts of different companies. And then I went across to the US and moved into finance type roles while I was doing my master's degree. But actually, it was finance that was supporting technology platforms and technology partners. So what that gave me was the sort of a little bit of the development experience, a little bit of the client services experience from working in those roles, and now the financial aspect of, well, how do things work in a global organization? Because I was working for the largest asset manager in the world then, and did and was looking after sort of $220 million worth of assets in this position. So it gave me a real understanding of lots of different things in technology. And from that, what that allowed me to do was then move into strategy, because I had this breadth of experience where I could really understand, well, what is a company doing? What do they need to do? And what does their front end and back end need to look like, and their operational side of things as well? So in a roundabout way, that led me into corporate consulting, where I worked for an Accenture Microsoft company in the UK. I sat within their strategy advisory team for a few years, which was a lot of fun and also challenging, and also what led me to where I am today, doing slightly different things, supporting women in tech, really on the confidence side of things. But over the last couple of years, I've worked independently as an independent digital transformation consultant. So I primarily support organizations, more industrial type organizations, such as manufacturing, engineering, renewable energy companies, adopt advanced technologies. So that is my story of how I got into tech.
That is a great story. I love that so much. And I always tell people, you know, there are many different routes into tech. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do college and, you know, all of that stuff. Yeah. And that is amazing. So how can we help women improve confidence, especially in tech, because it's such a male, you know, dominated industry, and we're often treated different and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I'm actually looking for your advice for myself.
Okay. Okay, got it. Well, that I could help with. So yeah, it's a really great question, Shelly. And I think, you know, I'll just give a little bit of a background on why I can help answer this question, really, because obviously I'm a woman in tech, so that helps. But when I was in corporate consulting, you know, I really loved the position for a couple of years. It was great. And then we had a significant change in leadership. And throughout all of my tech positions, actually, or the majority of them, I've worked in all male teams. And it wasn't really an issue, you know, until this change of leadership. And unfortunately, you know, I think it's always, you know, circumstantial. It's never individual, these sorts of issues, when it comes down to what happens. But it was quite a masculine-driven environment. It wasn't too accommodating. I didn't feel very comfortable there at times. And I felt like I was always, always striving and trying to prove myself and all of the things that kind of happen as being sort of a woman in a mainly predominantly male environment, shall we say. And so what happened was that I ended up actually having really severe burnout, both physically and mentally and emotionally, which basically meant that my body completely stopped working and my brain at some points. And so what that meant was that I had to take a few months off work, which was really a bit of an epiphany moment for me, because I realized that there was a couple of things that were going on here. One, I needed to make sure that this never happened to me again. And ideally, I would make sure that this didn't happen to other people, which is what I've spent the last 2 years doing. But really, that part of it was, of course, environmental in terms of the situation within the organization itself. But also some of that was down to me. And it was down to the fact that I wasn't confident enough in myself and my own ability to support myself in that environment. I didn't have the correct boundaries in place. And I wasn't looking after my own well-being as well. And so over the last couple of years, I've supported many women in tech in really building the confidence that they need to support themselves in this environment after learning how to do that myself and leaving that environment. So to answer your question directly, what can women do? You know, how can we support ourselves in becoming more confident, and how can we feel more confident in these environments? And the answer is that it takes, you know, I think we have to build confidence from the ground up, and we have to really understand that some confidence is something that is holistic, first of all. So it encompasses many aspects of our life and our well-being. So we have to consider all of those things and whether we are taking care of ourselves overall. But also as well, you know, there's a process for building confidence in these types of environments. So for example, if you're finding yourself in an environment particularly male-dominated and you're not feeling confident in it, you need to look at specifically, well, what do you want out of that environment? You know, first of all, the first step is always knowing what we want and what we want to achieve. And then looking and saying, well, how do I support myself to get these things? And if it is the fact that, you know, maybe you're suffering from a lack of confidence or imposter syndrome, or just feeling a little bit like it's you against the world and everyone else, which can often be the case, my advice is to start looking at really building the foundations for confidence. So the first thing we have to understand is, and this is really a three-step process, the first thing is understanding, well, what do confident people do differently? And what would I do if I was the most confident version of myself? And then we need to look really at kind of what change looks like, you know, overall. So where are we now? Where do we want to be? So I'm a strategist at heart, so I'm always looking at things like this, right? But it's true as well when it comes to confidence. You know, we need to know where we are weak in our confidence and what we need to do. The second step really is looking at, well, once we know where we want to be, how do we rewrite that process? Because as confident or unconfident people in certain environments at the moment, what happens is that we have certain narratives, certain things that we are telling ourselves all of the time. And, you know, you may be really confident in a specific area, but lacking confidence in another. So what I get sort of my clients to look at is, what are the thought patterns that are coming up for them? So, for example, you know, I actually had a client call with a wonderful lady yesterday who had the exact problem that you mentioned, basically. So she was coming back from maternity leave after, you know, had a wonderful career, coming back from a year off maternity leave, felt very unconfident and just different in the environment. And she was going back into an all-male team, and they were not including her and not making her feel very welcome, which is a real shame. And what I said to her was, you know, in the short term, there's not a lot sometimes. There are things we can do about the environment, right? There are practical things, such as we can raise it, we can communicate effectively, we can do all of those things that we need to do. But sometimes it is not about, we can't control the environment, so we have to just control ourselves around that, which is, you know, sometimes the top and bottom of it, really. So what we did together was that we looked at some of the things that she was actually thinking. And some of the things that came up were, well, you know, am I good enough now? The technology's changed, for example, some things like this, and things such as, I'm supposed to mentor other people. What if I'm not good enough? And so I helped her look at what these actual beliefs were that were coming up for her. And then understand, well, how do we rewrite these? First of all, we need to understand that they're not ultimately true, first off. So the things that we were talking about, and feel free, Shelly, to interrupt me and ask me questions anytime you like, by the way.
Sure.
Was really that, you know, I helped her understand that, first of all, you know, she's good enough because she is, frankly. You know, she wouldn't be in her senior tech position if she wasn't good enough to be there. You know, she's worked incredibly hard for it. And secondly, you know, we helped her look at the fact that she, you know, the technology might have changed, but her as a person hasn't changed. Her ability and adaptability to thrive in different scenarios certainly hasn't changed. And that no matter what, you know, her ability to help her mentees with potentially in the future is that, regardless of the technical aspects of things, there would be a million and one things that these people could learn from her. So it's really about understanding what you bring to the table and being really secure in that. And then once you understand those sorts of things and you've created a really positive belief system for yourself, you know, there are then tools we can put on top of that, you know, and quick fixes or, you know, methods to help us. But I really think it starts with a foundation, because if we try and do the tools without anything else, you know, you're building a house on a rocky foundation, really.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. You touched on imposter syndrome. That is a very popular topic. I've talked about it in so many episodes on this podcast, but I would like your opinion and advice on how to combat imposter syndrome.
Yeah, I think imposter syndrome's an interesting one, isn't it? Because we likely all feel it, and we likely will all feel it throughout our lives. It's ultimately, I think, something that won't necessarily go away, particularly if we are women or people who are striving all of the time for growth. Because the more we grow, we are naturally going to be faced with new challenges, new experiences, you're going to be feel like an imposter, because sometimes you almost are, you know, in the sense that if it's a very new environment, of course you don't know what you're doing, you know?
Of course.
The thing is, it's how do we deal with these feelings as they come up? Knowing that they will always come up, how do we deal with it? And some of the things, you know, is acceptance around it, first of all, and knowing that it's normal and that you're not the only one. And then from a sort of practical perspective, you know, you can certainly, some of the things that are really helpful to do is, again, being really grounded in your own self-worth and what you bring to the table, because imposter syndrome also is often derived from comparing ourselves from other people. So the classic comparatonitis, you know, you think you're doing great until you look around you, right? And then suddenly everyone's doing a million things that you perceive to be better than you. I'm realizing that it's not true, you know, that 9 times out of 10, you know, you are doing a phenomenal job, and, you know, other people are looking at you in the same way. You know, that's
exactly
the funny thing about it.
Yeah. I think, social media doesn't help this either, because you're constantly comparing yourself to people's posts. And like, generally, most people only post nice stuff. They don't talk about, you know, their internal issues and struggles. I do it on purpose because people assume that I have my shit together, and you know, I don't. So
yeah.
I might look like it. Yeah, totally. And it's just like, people have this idea of who I am, and I'm just like, no, I'm just a girl trying to make it in this world, you know, and it's hard. One of the things that I struggle with are boundaries. I have anxiety, and I'm bipolar as well. Mm-hmm. So that's like a classic symptom.
Sure. Yeah.
Bipolar, right. Is that we don't set very good boundaries. What tips do you have for setting boundaries? And I said at work, but you know, also in life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Shelley, like, just thank you for being like super open and honest and like just bearing it all, because we need it, you know? And I try and do the same, but it's a reminder for me to do more. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. So in terms of setting boundaries is an interesting one. It's something I'm really passionate about, because we can look at boundaries in the workplace, and like you said, look at boundaries in general life. So first of all, you know, in the workplace, boundaries, it's a slightly different dynamic, isn't it? Because generally we are like in contracts and things like that, that we're not in normal life, right? So there's a slightly different setup. So if it was a normal life environment, I am very much like, if you don't feel good about it, it's a no, right? And that is the answer. Like, that is all you need to know about it. No one has the right to cross any boundary that you, or anything that you do not feel comfortable with. You don't owe anyone anything. No one owes anyone anything. End of story. The end. Right? So that's how I feel about boundaries in normal life. You know, I think it's really important for us to protect ourselves. And specifically, you know, our well-being, physical well-being, mental well-being, all of the well-beings, right? So boundaries are really, really important for doing that. So outside of a working environment, that's hard line for me. In a working environment, it's similar, but it's slightly different because of the setup of things. So we need to be able to look at, well, firstly, how do we implement boundaries in a structured way, in a way that makes us feel comfortable? Because what we'll realize when we are setting boundaries and implementing boundaries is that it will feel uncomfortable. So And we'll talk a little bit more about that. So the first thing in terms of setting boundaries, if we're looking at steps in a process, is to understand what feels good to us and what we want in this situation. And the way that we get to that point, I think, is to just feel it in our body and just think, you know, with anything, how does this feel to me right now? And if it doesn't feel good for any reason, that is the time that you need to consider setting a boundary. So in whatever that is, whether it is physical, whether it is on your time, whatever it is, right, you need to be connected with yourself and thinking about those things. Intuition is a big one. The second thing, once you know what you want, is to really understand, okay, well, how do I approach this? So if we use a specific example, I think it will be helpful. So for example, you might be at work and you're already at capacity and your boss wants you to do more work. And you might want to do it, but you just can't physically do it anyway. So you can understand that this doesn't feel good to you. It's not going to work for you. Right. At that point, that's when the panic sets in, right? Because you're thinking, well, how do I approach this? What am I going to do? And part of it is that you need to be a little bit prepared for it. So you need to understand, okay, I need to have a conversation and I need to sort of deal with this the right way. So as you go through this process, what might happen is that your boss will come up to you, for example, and say, can you take on another project? In that moment, it's going to feel uncomfortable because you're going to say no, and we'll talk about how you say no and in a way that can work for you, because often we're not at the point where we can just say no. So it will feel uncomfortable for you, but it will also feel uncomfortable for them because by the nature of what is happening, it is a different dynamic to what has ever happened before. So it will just be, we have to be wary of that. So what I always say to someone is, firstly, when you get asked for something and it doesn't feel good to you, you need to practice the pause. So that means not saying anything and just sitting with the silence for just a few seconds, you know, and it'll feel like a lifetime. But actually, it's just 2 seconds. Because what that will do is stop you from the automatic yes, that of course I will, that naturally comes up, but it will also make the person on the other side think about your response. It will seem abnormal to them, and we want that. What you can do then is, once you've sat with that silence and just given the situation a little bit of a break, is to formulate a response to it. And what I like to work on here is helping people formulate sort of responses. So for example, like, absolutely, in this instance, absolutely, thank you for thinking of me. I'd absolutely love to take this on, but I am at capacity now. What else would you like me to give up? So what you're doing then is throwing the ball back in their court and having them deal with the problem and not you, which in this instance, you know, I'm usually one take control of everything, but honestly, in this, pass it back over the fence at this point. And then obviously, you know, how they deal with it is on them. I think it's a wider problem if they like to push boundaries. But it's one example of how we can start implementing them in the workplace.
Yeah, that is amazing advice. And I will just add that no is a full sentence. Mm-hmm. I tell people that all the time. Yeah. If you say no and someone asks why, I'll either say, you know, I just can't, just, I just can't. Yeah. Or if it's a ridiculous request, I don't want to, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't do everything, but it's really hard. We're going to take a quick break for a segment that I like to call Precious Gems. This is where I take comments and questions from social media to mm-hmm. feature our fans on the show. So let me just screen share. And today's actually, you know, I pick these beforehand and they often end up being really relevant to the conversation. You were just talking about a mom who returned to work and it wasn't great. This comment comes from Christopher Stevenson. Hey, Christopher, I know you're listening. And it was in response to a quote, if I can be an example of normalizing working moms and what it looks like, then I am going to do that. That was from a previous episode with my friend, Heather McDonald. And Christopher said, for any working mothers who need this insight and encouragement from my fave. Absolutely. That is very, very good advice from Heather.
Amazing. Yeah.
And relevant to our conversation.
Yeah,
too.
I love that.
Yeah. Alrighty. Moving on. So there's this, you know, issue of the gender gap. And honestly, it isn't only in tech. It's kind of widespread. But how can we close that up?
Yeah, million-dollar question, right? Well, I mean, there are from my perspective, you know, I always look at this and I think there are two sides to it. There is what organizations can do to support to close the gender gap, and then what we can do as well. So from an organizational perspective, you know, there are the practical things such as making sure you've got the right policies in place. Just pay people properly, please, for goodness sake. Like, pay everyone accordingly. Like, it's not rocket science. Just get it done. And then there are things such as, you know, considering like how do we retain women in the workplace as well through and attract. So such things as being really cognizant of, is your organization set up to support women? So are you providing the right working environment for them? Is it flexible? Is it somewhere that women would want to work and like is accommodating to the other things that we have going on in life and men from that perspective, you know, like, in general, are you like an employer of the modern world? So that's really important. I think there are things such as, you know, support, like we've been talking about a little bit here, is supporting women in terms of returnships. You know, you want to help close the gender gap. Well, you've got a million women out there who would love to come back into the industry, feel, you know, worried about doing it and not supported about doing it. How are you specifically targeting those people and supporting them to bring them back into the workplace? So there's lots of things that can be done. I think, you know, there's a couple of things as well that organizations can definitely do. You know, I think having specific programs to support women, you know, where they need it. So when I said I think it's broken up into two sides, you know, I think there's all of these practical things that an organization can be doing. But why I specialize in helping women build the confidence skills and organizations as well to support women in doing this is because you can put in as many opportunities for women and promotion opportunities and all of that good stuff. But if we don't feel worthy of them, if we are not confident enough to hold ourselves in them, then you're fighting a losing battle. You know, both need to go together to support that. And I think when we get that balance right, we will begin to make some headway in this space.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with everything that you said. So why do women leave the tech industry? And I believe this mostly happens mid-career. And, you know, I've studied this too, but I just, you know, wanted to hear someone else's perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I mean, there are lots of different reasons. Of course, you know, there are reasons when women are not supporting the workplace when they want to have families and feel like they can't do both. You know, I think that's a really obvious one. Which is why it's so important for organizations to really focus on, well, are you being that modern employer? Are you providing like a workplace culture that is really supportive of these things? And are you, you know, helping women come back into the workplace? So that's one of the things. I think the second thing is, you know, we hit a ceiling often in tech. and we are closed out of positions often. And so there's the mobility aspect in terms of like physically getting into leadership in terms of are the opportunities there? And then if the opportunities are there, you know, how are we supported as we navigate those roles, and what programs are put in place to support us, for example? And I think as well, you know, the other side of things is, you know, reasons like why, you know, not why I left tech necessarily, but why I left the company that I was in. Like I said, you know, it wasn't a great environment. You know, there were lots of women within the organization itself, but within my specific team, there really weren't. And sometimes, you know, you feel very isolated, you feel alone, and like you don't have a team. And so if you go to a different industry where, you know, you've got more mates, then, you know, that makes it, you know, that's one reason for doing it, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've seen so many women leave tech or kind of stay in tech, but take like non-technical roles. A lot of us are in leadership. I believe that women are born leaders because moms and wives, you know, anybody that has a spouse, you kind of inherently take on organization, communication, scheduling, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. That makes for a great leader. All of those qualities are absolutely needed. Yeah. So let's talk about your ebook. I'm so impressed with this list. It is 100 free resources to empower women in tech. 100.
Yeah.
You know, usually you see like 10 maximum or something, but this was 100. What inspired you to write this? And thank you.
Firstly, thank you. That's so kind. And we need to get you in there.
Thank you.
So we'll do a little update. You know, I wrote it because there wasn't anything that I could find that existed to support this. I was actually last year, I keep getting confused with the years.
I'm absolutely the same.
Yeah. Anyway, a few months ago, I was looking for, you know, to attend events. I was like, oh, I want to get back out there and meet people. And I just couldn't find like consolidated lists of resources. And then, you know, this sent me down a rabbit hole of what else was I really interested in. So it's full of sort of events and networks and podcasts and influencers and all that good stuff. So that's what really inspired me to do it. And I thought, let's just put it together so that exists and lives in the world. And, you know, it took me ages to do, I've got to be honest.
But, I mean, 100. Yeah, that's a lot. A lot of resources.
Yeah, but it gets really good feedback and it's helping a lot of people, so that's nice.
I love that. Yeah, and it's just a reference. It is such a good reference to just everything. And I believe that I will go down that list and reach out to any influencers on that list and ask them to be on the podcast. So thanks for that.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of podcasts, you also have a podcast, Technically Confident, subscribed. Tell us about that. Like, how did you come up with this concept?
Yeah. So it's very much in the works. So we're launching the first week of January. And as you know, there's a lot of work that goes into this. So it's been real fun. And I'm so excited to launch it and get it out to the world. But yeah, it's so Technically Confident. So it does what it says on the tin, really. So it's all about helping women in tech become more confident and sort of just navigate the world that we're in at the moment. So, you know, there are solo episodes of me talking about, you know, more in depth, how to set boundaries, how to do all that sort of thing, how to build confidence, but really also, you know, different interviews of people in tech who are, you know, really great advocates for the industry, but also I wanted it to be really holistic in looking at like how we build confidence in our lives as well. So I've got people on there talking about other confidence experts, you know, with different thoughts and narratives on how you go about doing things, because I'm just keen on helping people in the best way possible and what works for them. And people, you know, that have expertise in, you know, how to build our confidence around money, for example, as we navigate these industries and lots of different things. And the inspiration was that I just wanted to get these messages out to the world. You know, I felt like I have a lot to say. There's a lot of people to help. There's lots of people that message me all the time asking about, you know, how do I build greater boundaries? How do I build more confidence, come back to work, do all of those things? And so I was like, let me put this into a podcast. That's what I'm doing.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's such a great topic. And I think that, you know, it helps a lot of people. Because we all kind of struggle. I also receive messages all of the time from people who are just like, what am I doing? You know, how do I overcome issues and all of that? I think, you know, confidence, and I've been in a lot of therapy in my life for this specific issue, but confidence, you know, comes from inside. You shouldn't seek external accolades to improve your confidence. This is something I struggle with, obviously. I have so many awards that I've gone for, you know, and like really tried, but sometimes I still feel like, you know, I'm a loser or something, you know, and that's something that everybody, I think, struggles with. Yeah.
I think I felt, honestly, this morning was a thought that I had, you know, and I teach this.
Oh so, my God, totally. Yeah. I teach stuff that I struggle with as well. But yeah, like last week I was talking, to a mentee, and I was feeling like a failure that day, right? Mm-hmm. And so he said to me, you know, you're a MVP, you have courses on Pluralsight, which is not easy. And now you're writing a book.
I'm
literally writing a book for a publisher. And he was like, who are you? You know? And I was just like, oh, I needed to hear that. I absolutely needed that in that moment. I was just like, okay, I'm not thinking of myself as others do.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know.
Wow. But yeah. What an insight. Firstly, oh my goodness. Like all of the things that you're doing, like that is incredible.
It's a lot.
I'd love to hear about your book actually. But what an insight that like you are just, we don't view ourselves as other people do. You're absolutely right. You know, and like you said, you know, his confidence needs to come from the inside because it will just never be enough, right? There'll never be enough certifications or books or podcasts or like whatever it is, if we don't build it internally.
Absolutely. And I will kind of close out by saying a lot of people, you know, base confidence on followers. I was just having a conversation on a earlier episode with Sean Wildermuth, and we both were just like, yeah, we're going to admit that we look at our follower count.
Yeah.
And I have worked really, really hard to cultivate a following on Twitter. Bad on me, because most people are leaving that now. Yeah, but just don't. I don't take my own advice. Just don't compare yourself to people. Don't feel like a failure. If you don't have enough followers on social media, who cares?
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. Or at least be aware of when you're doing it.
Right. Totally. Yeah. And it's so hard. But yeah, just to explain my book quickly, because this episode, I think, is the first one where I've talked about it. The working title is the lead developer career guide, you know, because I don't see any resources out there teaching soft skills to developers.
Lead
developers generally are pushed into it based on their technical expertise, and they have absolutely no idea what lead means, and it's literally in the job title. So yeah, I'm on chapter two. I'm writing for a actual publisher. You know, it's not just me, and it's my first book, hopefully of many, I would say. Yeah,
that's incredible. Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
It is huge, like, to be writing it for a publisher and just to be writing a book in general, but in that, like, in that context. And also, it just sounds like it is well needed. And I have seen the lack of soft skills as well. So I think it's also needed.
Everybody has. Yeah. The publisher was actually like, why doesn't this already exist? I'm just like, well, you know, I'm here now. So
because you're the only one with soft skills.
Yeah. Hopefully not the only one, but you know, I teach it. Yeah. So yeah. We are at the end of our time. But before I let you go, tell us where people can connect with you and promote all of the things you're doing.
Sure. So people can connect with me mainly on Instagram. I'm at Charlotte Fuller Tech, which is pretty simple. I'm the same on LinkedIn if you want to come across there, and I'm also at charlottefuller.com, so pretty easy to get a hold of. If you want to grab my free guide that we've already been talking about, I can give you a link for that. Absolutely. And other than that, you know, like I said, I support women in tech really in building the confidence and mindset skills that they need to really thrive in their careers. So whether that is, you know, you are coming back from a career break, or you are pushing into the next level of leadership, or, you know, maybe you want to promote your own ideas or products into whatever environment, you know, these are the type of people that I work with. So if you come over to Instagram or my website, you'll be able to see what I do, but I offer different coaching packages, and also, there are different products and things as well that I have available. So come on over and say hi, and also just say hi anyway.
I love that. And yes, I will have links to everything in the show notes. Charlotte, thank you so much. This was so fun.
Thank you. And I can't wait to read your book as well.
If you want to support us, please like, subscribe, and share this episode with your fellow gems. Let me know in the comments what other topics you would like me to cover, and follow TRs in Tech on social media and use the hashtag #MakeYourselfShine. Thanks for watching or listening, and have a great day.